not be using the screens this morning, but if you could turn in your Bibles or your flip to your iPad or whatever you're using device to recall God's word. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. This is an unusual prayer, and we wanted to bring this out today so that you could get an understanding of what the psalmist is praying for in this verse. He prays in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. I want to share with you this morning the topic, a good test. A good test. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for your mercy and your love. We pray that you'd lift us up and help us to understand your truth. Lord, that we would not only be able to discern it, but to follow it. I pray that you would speak to our hearts with power and conviction, that all that we do, Lord, would bring honor and glory to your name. We love you and we thank you, for it's in the precious name of Jesus that we do pray. And all the people said, amen. What is a good test? What is a good test? Those of you that are getting older, you're familiar with the word test. It usually involves something that has to do with our health to find out whether it's where it should be. For those of you that are younger, a test will mean that you're going to be graded on some knowledge or something that you should have learned. What is a good test? We've been talking about the good news of sacrifice. On last Sunday, we read where Adam and Eve actually hid from God. They hid from God, and God invited them back, calling to Adam, "Adam, where are you?" God invited them back. Now, God wasn't just calling them back to find out where they were physically, but to know what was going on in their heart. You notice quite a change today as we look at the psalmist. He's not hiding. As a matter of fact, he's asking God to search him. Search him. Search me. Why? That I might know what's in my heart. We say, well, I can search my own heart. Can we? Do we? The jazz singer Eartha Kitt said she had to keep testing herself or searching herself. And the truth is, if you search yourself or you do a self-test, you're going to only want to find what you like, right? You're going to only want to consider the things that you would want to hold on to. The psalmist didn't say that. He said, "Search me, who? O God. Search me, O God." What is he looking for? He's saying, try me and know my thoughts. Try me and know what I'm thinking. Now, is this a request that God would read his mind? No. Behind your thoughts are motives. You've got motives. You've got things that you have going on the inside. You might not admit it. If you go and you look at some of the cases or the court cases where people are being questioned, and what the attorney is looking for, he's looking for what? He's looking for motives. He wants to know not just what you're thinking, but what's behind that thought. What are you really driving at? Notice this prayer. It's an unusual prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my, and in the Hebrew, it really expresses anxious thoughts. What's making me do the things that I do? What's driving me? And that's what brings us into what we call a good test. Now, a lot of us, we want to come in the presence of God, and our reason for being there, and as we talk about the good news of the sacrifice, a lot of us will come and we'll get before God because we want to get something back from God, right? I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. That's, we need God. Don't get me wrong. And that's a reason why we come, but that's not the main reason why we come. We come that God might get a good look at us. Well, he already knows us. And I don't think that the psalmist is really saying, God, you don't know me like I know me. He's actually saying, God, you know me better than I know myself. So when I ask you to search me, I want you to tell me. I want you to explain to me what is it about me that you really don't like. What is it about me that you are saying, I'm going to change that? Now, why does he do this? He's got a motive in mind. He's got a motive. He's not looking at just his own life. He says, if there's any wicked way in me. Now, we say, well, wickedness is not bad. Wickedness will cause you to miss your goal. If you're thinking evil in your heart, God cannot speak to you, cannot guide you, because your mind is not centered on God. You want to have your mind centered on him. And so you want God to search you. Now, I know some of you probably say, I'm a Christian. I got saved a long time ago. That's good. But what have you been thinking since then? And the only way that you can know what's in your heart, what's in your life, is that God does a search. You go through TSA, through the airport, some, you know, and they want to search. They will scan, but they're only looking for certain things. They're looking for electronic devices that might be destructive. They're looking for a lot of horrible stuff. But they don't search your heart. They don't look on the inside. They're not concerned with that. And I'm wondering how many people come into the country with hatred in their heart. How many people travel across the country with hatred in their heart? They don't test for that. But when God conducts this good test, he's looking for the evil, not to destroy you, but to change you. While we come to God and we're looking for the abundance of things, God is looking at the abundance in our heart. What have you treasured? So let's dig into this. Let's dig in. And now let's mention the negative test. Negative test, okay? A negative test is a bad test. Just let me get through it, right? Just let me get it over with. How many of you felt like you were in a negative test? Why is God testing me? I'm going through all this crisis in my life. He knows I'm a good person. He knows I pray. He knows that I read my Bible. Why is God testing me? And we call it a negative test. Because we think I'm already good. Job complained to God, God, why are you testing me? And I can't even find you to where I can talk to you about this thing. And what Job didn't know is that he was not perfect. He kept doing these self-tests. I sacrifice, I do all these things. And while Job was a godly man, a good man, he wasn't as perfect as God. So here's your first test. Now, I want you to stand in front of your spiritual mirror and ask yourself, do I look like God? Well, the obvious answer is, no, you don't. But is it God's desire that I look like him? And the answer is yes. So now we got a disparity. We got a disparity of what I ought to be and what I am. And I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Oh, yes. When you look at this, when you start thinking about this test, what the psalmist was actually saying, God, I want to make it into eternity. I got my mind set on eternity. And I don't want to have anything to keep me from that. So if this wickedness is in me, now did the psalmist David, did he have wickedness? Yeah. And there was a time in his life he actually hid from God. Anyone have? No. I did something. You can tell when people did something. You know, you can tell when a little child has done something and they'll, did you take something? And God will come to us. Did you do that? No. Did you think that? No. Did you say that? No. But I dare you to ask God to test you. Now, I've noticed certain things here. In this verse, he says, see if there's any wicked way in me. Now, he knows God's going to find something. He's not being egotistical. He's not like the two that went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. The Pharisee came, oh God, I think I'm not like other men. I'm not like this guy right here. I fast 2 times a week. God, I tithe of everything, even to the vegetables in my garden. You talk about tithing. Wow. This guy had an impressive resume, but deep down in his heart, he had wickedness. So is the psalmist saying, okay, God, I know I'm clean, test me. And no, he knows there's something there. And he so wants God to test him so that whatever it is, it can be removed. Because he wants to have fellowship with God. He wants to spend eternity with God. Look at somebody, tell them you need the test. Why do we go to the doctor? Sometimes we go to the doctor and we want to impress them. We'll do a lot of stuff like drink vinegar to bring our blood pressure down. We get these concoctions. We go to the doctor so we can get a good test. And a week later, we're going to be back suffering from whatever it was that we went to the doctor in the first place for. You see what I'm saying? So we look at these tests like, let me get over with. That's the negative test. We just want to get through it. We want to be done with it. But the positive test, and this is the one that the psalmist is talking about, he wants God to test him to remove the evil so that he can now enjoy the fellowship with God in receiving the good. How many of you want that for your life? How many of you gotten sick and tired of all the corruption that you know that you're capable of, and you want to step up. You want to actually have this fellowship with God in such a way that you don't want anything to interrupt it, not even an evil thought. That's what I call seeking God and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. So what was the psalmist saying? What was he saying in this verse? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Now, let me just suggest to you that whether you ask God to test you or not, you don't have control over that. How many of you found that out? Okay, so you don't have any control as to when and to how God will test you. You know that he's going to do it, right? You might even question why he's doing this. But in his deep love for you, God tests you not to destroy you. Matter of fact, I got a couple of notes here. First of all, the test is not to condemn. It's not to condemn. What the psalmist is asking is, see if there is any wicked way in me. Psalm 139 and verse 24a, first part of that. See if there's any wicked way in me. Now, in the same way that you want to be tested to find out if something is going on in your body, right? You want to be tested so that whoever's looking at you say, oh, yeah, this is the problem. They'll take x-rays and they'll do all these things and they'll take blood test samples and all these things to find out what it is that's wrong with you. Why? Because you know that if you got a good doctor, he's going to say, you need to take this, you need to have this procedure, or you need to correct it by doing this. Now, what do you think about God when he comes to you with a test? It's not to condemn you. It wouldn't be very hard for him to destroy you. That's not what he wants to do. What he really wants to do is not to condemn, but he wants to confirm you. He wants to confirm you. The latter part of Psalm 139, verse 24, it says, "Lead me in the way everlasting." Over and over again, the psalmist prays this. Psalm 23 that we often quote, and we'll say, I know the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." But if you look at the end of the psalm, it gives you the result of the Lord being your shepherd, and that is that you may dwell in the house of the Lord, how long? Forever. The house you're living in now is temporary. Some of us who are getting older in years have had the rising and setting of the sun over us for any given amount of time. We know that this house is temporary. And if you're not looking for another house that is permanent, I don't know what to say. And that brings us to why we come to God. We come to God because we want what he's got. What has he got? He's got eternity. I know he's got a lot of power. I know he's got a lot of stuff. But stuff is not going to help you if you can't stay in your house. Did y'all get that? This house that I'm living in, I feel pretty good today. As a matter of fact, I made one of those homemade concoctions, and I slept pretty good last night. I don't know what it was, but I know some of y'all said, "Take a little wine, Rep." Nah. This house that we're living in is temporary. The psalmist knew that he had his mind set on eternity. Sometimes we worry too much about the things that are going to pass away anyhow, instead of being concerned about the things that are eternal. So what do we know about God when he tests us? All right, he doesn't test us to condemn us. He tests us to confirm us. He wants God to say, I'm your shepherd and you're my sheep. He wants God to say, your house is with me. You know, he wants God to say that one of these days when you step out of time, God will say, welcome. He's looking for eternity. This age in which we're living in, we're spending too much time worried about temporary things. Third thing that we find out about God, not only does he not condemn us, but instead he confirms us. God doesn't come to break us. I know the test feels like he's breaking us. How many of you have been broken by life? Things happen. When you thought everything was secure, everything wrong just broke loose on you. But there's something about you that can't be broken. God has put something in you that cannot be broken by circumstances. It cannot be broken by conditions of this world. God has put something in you that is permanent. It's called the likeness of God. The likeness of God. So when you're being tested, it's not to bring out you. It's not for you to shine and say, "Oh man, look how strong I am." It is to find that you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. See, this thing about being tested does not prove your strength or my strength. It proves the strength of God. How many of y'all NASCAR fans and like to watch the races? Now, they got these gauges in these cars, right? I don't know a lot about it, but it'll tell them what the engine is doing. It'll tell them how the chassis is reacting to the turns and how all of these things are working together. And those guys, while they're over there in the pit, you know, they're not just chilling out. That car, while it's running, it's being tested because they're watching it. They're paying attention. And the least movement of the gauge in the wrong way, what they'll do is they'll call them in for a pit stop. Are y'all with me? So what happens when you pray, God has just called you in for a pit stop. Say, wait a minute. You're not taking these turns right. You're not going at the rate that you should be going. You're falling behind. When you should be here, you're here. God tests us. He tests us. Doesn't test to destroy. He tests to make us stronger. Psalm 103 talks about God conducting his tests. Psalm 103 in verse 14, he knows, listen to this, he knows our frame, okay? He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. But it's what God made of the dust that's really the thing that God wants to bring out. Now get this, made from dirt, but considered most valuable. Nobody can do that but God. As a matter of fact, I'm amazed at how God makes a diamond. You know how diamonds are made? It's an old piece of coal, right? And yet so much pressure is put on that coal over time that it stops being coal and it turns into a diamond. You just might be a diamond in the rough. But God's got to test you. He's got to bring things your way to put you under pressure so that you can come out of this and you can be his jewel of choice. So if he's not going to break us, what is he going to do? He's going to make us. Psalm 51 and verse 10, created me, what? A clean heart, O God. Created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Story is told about a teacup. This teacup, a couple actually were traveling through England and they were celebrating their anniversary and they wanted to find a special teacup and they noticed one on the shelf. They noticed one. They said, we like this one. This teacup had a personality. As a matter of fact, this teacup spoke back to them and said, you don't know what I've been through. And so the teacup began to talk about its journey. It says that my master took me and rolled me and patted me over and over and I yelled, let me alone. But he smiled, not yet. Then I was placed on a spinning wheel and spun around until I got dizzy and I screamed, please stop. But he said, not yet. Then he put me in the oven. I never felt such heat. The teacup said, I wondered why he wanted to burn me, and I yelled and knocked at the door. I couldn't see him through the opening. I could only read his lips where he said, not yet. Finally, the door opened, and he put me on a shelf, and I began to cool, feeling better. But then he brought me out and got a brush and some paint, and the fumes almost destroyed me, and I said, stop it. And he said, not yet. Then suddenly he put me back into the oven. Only this time, it was hotter than the oven I'd been in before. I begged, I pleaded, I screamed, I cried. Then I knew that all hope was gone. But before all hope was gone, he took me out of the oven and put me in front of a mirror. And he said, now see. So as the teacup told the story about spinning and being heated, yet it had been tempered to the point where it wouldn't crack. It had been forged in the fire so that now it was strong and could hold things. God tests you not to destroy you, but to use you. And then to place you at a high place and say, you belong to me. That's how God is working in your life. And it's good when you can run out and say, I got my test results. I got good test results. I passed the test. The saints of God have been through the fire. We've been through the flood. And thank God we're still standing. Some of you faced some crisis in your life. You didn't think you were going to make it. But God was the one walking with you through the test. And I want to tell you, not only do we have one that conducts the test, but one who knows the test personally. Every human experience you can go through, Jesus Christ of Nazareth has gone through those fiery trials of life. He knows what you're feeling, and he comes to represent you in the test. And when you, like this teacup, start saying, God, I can't take it, the Holy Spirit of God comes to you and walks you through the trial and says to you, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. That's God. That's God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the message. And Lord, if any of us have been fearing coming to you and afraid because you're going to test us, you're going to search us and know us, may we not be concerned about that. May we be concerned about what the test results will show. It will show that we've been with God. It will demonstrate that we know you. And more importantly, it will remove things out of our life that are simply not needed. Thank you, Father, for all of these wonderful things. Bless us now to receive your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps this message has challenged you and spoken to your heart about a good test. Some of you are thinking, I'm going through a bad test. No, no, no. God's always going to test you for good. I heard someone say the devil will tempt you, but God will test you. And his test is to make you better. If God is working on your heart, if you've not been a part of a church and you'd like to join with our fellowship here at Crossroad, we invite you to do so. May we all stand as the invitation is given. The doors of a church are open. Whosoever will, let him come.